Hi there, and thank you for staying with us this afternoon on Dubai Eye, where we've been talking all things real estate. Just before the break there, we touched on the issue of Europe, which is always a favourite of ours on the show, Mike.
Well, it is because, you know, a lot of people might not be able to see this quite so easily as I do, but there is a massive connection between what's happening in Europe and what will happen to house prices, and that's globally, not just in Europe. Mm-hmm. So it will have a macro effect, rather like subprime had a macro effect on the global economy. Europe will have a macro effect. And that's why we look at it. And in a piece that I saw this week was called The Bubble of Bubbles. And we are having bubbles everywhere now. Why are we having bubbles everywhere? Because it's like a soft balloon. If you've got the world as a soft balloon, or the world of finance, right? If you squeeze one part, where does it, what happens? You get a bubble somewhere else. And if you deal with that part, you get a bubble somewhere else. And that's what's happening. So every time you print more money.
Soft balloon?
The soft balloon.
Is that TM, Mr. Small?
Yeah, TM Small, yes. I'll take that one. No, but I mean, if you think about it, you get a soft balloon, what do? You squeeze it and a bubble appears, and then you squeeze it somewhere else and a bubble appears somewhere else, and you try and stop that bubble and another bubble. We've done it. So that's what happens. So what you've got now is you've got all this amount of money that's being printed by the governments who are trying to make up for the fact that they allow banks to print too much money in the first place, and they are causing this soft balloon effect. So now you've got bubbles appearing everywhere. Where money is going into Norway, Finland, etc., to be safe from not being in Greece and Spain, you're causing bubbles there. Same in Austria, same in Switzerland. So bubbles are moving around the world now, but they're moving around at a faster and faster pace. Some governments are trying to stop them. China's a good example. China is actually trying to stop a housing bubble because it realises that, yes, it needs growth. Yes, it's got 1 billion people to feed. Yes, it's got factories to keep busy. But you know what? It's actually more dangerous to have a property bubble that implodes on you than it is to try and control your economy in the first place.
I thought China was pretty far down that path.
It's a long way down it. No, I don't think it can stop it now. I think it's gone too far, but I think it's stopping the very end effects by actually stopping people speculating now. Now, I had a very irate client send me, or not a client, a contact who sent me an email from Hong Kong this week and said, what do you know? You don't know what you're talking about. You're nowhere near China. And I said, no, and I haven't been to Greece, and I haven't been to Spain, and I haven't been in lots of places, but you can see a bubble from miles away. What do you want about? Well, and it's a bubble in China, and it's so obvious. Now, what we're seeing now,
Mike,
is a
growth
slowdown in China.
Sorry,
hold on.
The story I wanted to actually talk about today, and I'd love to your comments on it. China in June announced that it was going to build the tallest building in the world to beat Burj Khalifa in 90 days.
And we all know what happens when you build the tallest building in the world.
Think of that.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Because, and again, it's not unconnected. It's not a coincidence. All it is a sort of a complacency or an arrogance or whatever it is that says we can do this only comes at a time when your market is out of control. It can only come when you are so confident that nothing can go wrong. Now, we all know in life the time that things go wrong are always when we are so confident they can't go wrong. That's just life, because you start to miss risks. You start to believe that nothing can go wrong to you. So you don't look for the risks. You only look for the upside. Now, let's have a look at this. I want to transfer this now to investment in the moment, because I'm seeing a bubble of enormous proportions in the market called junk bonds, called yield chasers. I call it picking up pennies in front of steamrollers. All right? And that's what people are doing. But it's not their fault. It's salesmen are selling it. Salesmen are coming to them from banks, from institutions, and saying, don't leave your money in the bank, it's earning nothing. You can buy this, it earns you 6%. Well, yes, it does, but do you know what? It's got huge risks in it because it's a bubble. It's another bubble where people are throwing their money at it because they don't want to leave their money in the bank and earn nothing. Now, how does the salesman sell them that? He tells them that if you leave your money in the bank, inflation will eat it. He's wrong. He's wrong, because if you actually look at it, the money in the bank is not your spending money. It's not your daily spending money, right? That's your income. Your income matches your daily spending money, hopefully. For some in Dubai, it doesn't, but it should. All right, so if you've got your income and your spending money matching, so long as your income goes up the 3 or 4% of inflation, fine, you're matching. Your money in the bank is not income, it's asset. So that will buy assets. It will not buy consumables, it will not buy food, it will not buy cars, it will buy assets, i.e. houses or investments. So if they are going up, then yes, you're missing out. But if they're going down, you're actually better off holding cash. All right? Now, this is a fantastic distinction that people are not noticing at the moment, because the salesmen are out there again. And we had this discussion with Siobhan not long ago, where we had the discussion about it's people's own fault. And I said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You've got the marketing machine of the global banks versus a person.
People needed to be more aware as well.
They do need to be. I'm not saying they mustn't take any responsibility. Of course they must. But it's very difficult for one individual who gets pelted with texts and adverts and all sorts of things from massive banks with huge marketing budgets to sell them anything they can while it's hot. And the point is there, while it's hot. Because after they've sold it, guess what? It ain't hot anymore. It's cold. It's the bubble that's just been. And you've bought it. And we've got to be very careful there.
So if we've got this spreading bubble effect, how do we get rid of the bubble full stop?
It's not going to go easily. And there's a great piece in the FT today that says, you know, we're halfway there, is their view. In other words, we've had 5 years of recession since 2008. Mm. We're halfway there. Now, I don't believe that, because they then go on to talk about Japan and say, well, Japan's 23 years on and it still hasn't come out of it. And I don't believe we will until we actually understand and deal with the issue we've got. And we're not doing it. We're all pretending there isn't a problem. And I'm talking about Western politicians here. Pretending there's not a problem. We're seeing that in Greece. So let's bring it back to your original question. They pretended there wasn't a problem. I went back this week, just out of interest, to an article that came out just after the Greek Olympics. Because obviously it's Olympic season.
Indeed.
And there was a piece saying that every problem you're reading about now was there in 2005. It's talking about it. It's saying we've got this problem, we've got this problem, we've got this problem. And no one did anything about it until now. Why? Because it wasn't a crisis. We didn't have the momentum to do anything about it because no one would accept that it was so bad we had to deal with it. And I use a medical analogy on this program a lot. I think it's a brilliant analogy because it makes it so easy for people to understand. When do you go and see the doctor? Well, you'd like to go and see a checkup and you'd like to see him and say, okay, you know, have I got anything wrong? But a lot of people only go to the doctor when there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Now, true.
And then they don't want to hear the very bad news, or they might not want to. But if you don't get it diagnosed properly, you can't deal with it properly. And yet, Greece was diagnosed in 2004. If you really go back, it was diagnosed before it even started, because if they hadn't been able to do these FX swaps, they wouldn't have even qualified to get into the EU.
Or so the signs have been there.
The signs have been there since beginning, before they even entered the euro.
Emperor's new clothes,
yeah. No one wanted to look, no, you know, but as soon as you open them, poof, there's nothing there. There's nothing there at all. And so the EU now, I mean, it's September the 12th is the next big day when the German courts have to decide whether or not the Germans can actually agree to the ESM being used, even though it's not invented yet. It's not even informed yet, the ESM. Like, it's bizarre. You've got politicians making decisions after decisions after decisions based on a crisis. And they don't normally make good decisions based on crisis. You know, they usually make poor ones.
And on that happy note,
I always get the last bit.
How many
floors
is this building, Lucy? I need to go and jump off.
I know.
Well, is Burj Khalifa tall enough for you?
Should be, Martin.
Although China, of course, will possibly have a bigger one soon. But on that note, we are going to have to leave it for today, unfortunately. So a big thank you to all of the guests on this afternoon's show. Ludmila Yamalova, managing partner of HPL Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants. Mike Small, partner at VSM Consulting. And Martin Seward-Case, a partner at RPM and a chartered surveyor with the RICS World Governing Council. And guys, just before we wrap up, can you just let listeners know how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Sure. Best way to look us up is on our website, www.lyhplaw.com.
And for me, it's easy. Just text the letters VSM to number 5269.
It's not easier than mine.
Martin, beat both of them. No, go on.
Oh, I was just going to give a grotty old email address. My name says martin@reactionpm.com.
Excellent.